Hey guys, about 17 minutes in my OBS crashed. Because of this, the audio is a tad off at the 17 minutes mark. I'm not quite sure what happened, but I'm doing my best to make sure it doesn't happen again. Enjoy the episode. Love ya!
Hey, welcome! It's time for Atomic Radio Hour. Hold on a second. Hey everybody, welcome! It's time... Oh, I didn't like that. Hey everybody, hi, welcome! It's time for Atomic Radio Hour, the post... Nuclear Podcast! Welcome, it's episode 308. I'm your host, Vince. Hello. Welcome to the show. I got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Stuff that I never thought was ever going to happen, and it finally happened, and I'm just going to get right into it. Fellas, lady fellas, non-binary fellas, they put Fallout in Fortnite. You heard me correct. You can now play as a suit of T-60 power armor in Fortnite. I have not unlocked it yet. I got the battle pass. Actually, you know what? Screw it. Behind me is now Fortnite footage because I want an excuse to go play Fortnite because I bought the battle pass and didn't play. it's behind me, so you can see what's up with it. It's super cool that it's there. I think it's a little lackluster, some of the stuff that's there. It's just the T-60 suit, and there's, I think, two or three skins total, like variant skins for it. They have a back bling that's a Pip-Boy that, like, shows your kills and your health, and they have a gun skin that looks like a Pip-Boy, and it shows your kills. And there's a Cogsworth emote, and there's a bunch of other fun stuff. It's probably on screen me showing off the battle pass of, like, what the Fallout stuff is. And it's really cool, but I really hope they do... I'll buy it. I'll buy every skin that comes out if they do other skins. I really hope they do one that's the default characters in vault suits, and you get to customize the numbers on the back. Just because it'd be cool to... And then there's, like, the Fallout 4... version of the jumpsuit, which is like the show version, 76's version, and like Fallout 3 and New Vegas's version of the jumpsuit. I think that'd be really cool to see, just because it's like, you know, here's the other suits. They kind of do it in Fallout 4. There's a free DLC, a free paid mod that you can get where you can have a certain suit and customize it how you want. I'd really like to see something like that. I did read that you can have, which I think is so crazy, you can have Nuka-Colas as a pickup for health, and when you drink them, they give you a cap, but it comes to you in the form of a gold bar, because now Fortnite has that gold bar currency. And I just think it's cool, because I saw a picture that was the hardest lobby ever, and it was a T-60 power armor, the Doom Slayer, and Master Chief. And Kratos could technically be there too on one team. And that's the hardest lineup I've ever seen in any video game ever. It's just wild that for a lot of kids, Fortnite is their Smash, in the sense where, like, oh, I could play Super Smash Brothers, and here's like Solid Snake, and here's Sonic the Hedgehog, and here's Rob the Robot, and here's Minecraft Steve, and here's, I think Sans Undertale is like kind of in it. Here's all these characters, and they can all fight each other and be in the same game. And then it's like, here's Fortnite. You could be Naruto or Goku or Keanu Reeves in like two different versions. You could be Kratos and a bunch of other crazy people. Peter Griffin. You could be Peter Griffin in Fortnite, which is bonkers. If you guys are into Fortnite, let me know. I think it's so dope that this exists. I think it's so cool that I can do this, and I hope they implement more stuff as the season goes on. I think they're going to bring skins, especially because if it's linked to the Battle Pass and you're kind of stuck with it being in the Battle Pass, like, I'll never get Spider-Man or Darth Vader, which I really, really wish I had, but I wasn't playing Fortnite when that was a thing, so I just won't ever have it. And personally, I think Fortnite is really, it's been really, really good. The last season I didn't play, but the last few seasons that I have been playing has been really, really good. So I'm excited to see more stuff that I like. And that's why I want them to do more skins, because I feel like it would benefit them for the people who didn't get the power armor. But also, Call of Duty just announced that there's like Fallout skins in Call of Duty that are vault suits. So maybe we won't get vault suits because of that. I'm not quite sure. I do not play Call of Duty. I do not plan on ever playing Call of Duty. In the chat, we're having a little bit of a discussion about Fortnite. Captain Lennox even says, Fort is fun. I didn't think I'd enjoy it. Turns out to be one of the few fast-paced FPS-type games I do like. And that's what's really great about... Are you playing build or no build? Because I only play no build. I don't have the I haven't watched enough Skibidi Toilet videos for my brain to process building really, really quick. I personally really like no build. You build is stupid. There was a rumor that they were getting rid of build for a while, and I was like, then I'm not playing Fortnite. They also got rid of, like, trios? Yeah, it doesn't, I don't know. I'm not a build guy. I think Fortnite's better without the building. The building was just a carryover from this, from a single player. Sorry to get into like weird Fort history, but if I remember correctly, Fortnite started as a single player game that was like in early access. And then they were like, here's this online mode to kind of generate hype. And the online mode was more popular than the single player. So they kind of axed single player. I know if you have a physical copy of Fortnite, it comes with the, single player, and those are incredibly rare. Like, those are on PS4 probably more than $70 at this point, even used, because they came out and then kind of got pulled just because everyone was getting the free download. I think it's neat. I like Fortnite. Ah, something I never thought I'd ever say ever in my life. Ah, I'm changing and growing as a human. Speaking of changing and growing as a human, here's something that is not related to anything I wanted to talk about. I've fallen down the Star Wars rabbit hole. The Rancor pit, if you will. I didn't think I'd ever be a Star Wars guy. I was into Star Wars when I was younger, but I always felt like there was a shame around it. Like, anytime I ever wanted to talk about it, my friend, like, when I got into it, all of my friends were into it when they were younger, and my parents didn't grow up with Star Wars. There was just a shame around it that I never understood, and always made me feel weird for liking it. And it was like this thing that I always kind of enjoyed, but then put to the side and then came back to it every now and again. And recently, the reason why last episode, I wanted to say this earlier, but ADHD is a motherfucker. I'm sorry that last episode... No, I'm not sorry. Last episode was a burner episode. Hold on. Someone has messed with my Fallout shelf. The last episode was a burner episode because I had family come into town and I wanted to spend time with them. And my brother is... My brother and my mom came, and my brother is really into Star Wars. So on the drive... I did it so much driving. I went to the hotel where The Shining takes place. It's called the Stanley Hotel. I went to that hotel. It's really cool. I snuck into places I shouldn't have been because everything's so expensive in Colorado. And then apparently someone, either my brother or my mom, must have been in my room and moved something, because there is this Brotherhood Knight dorb, this Funko dorb, which was like a Loot Crate exclusive, I think. I don't even remember how I got this fella. It's just not where he belongs. He's not with the other Brotherhood stuff. Why are you over here? What the fuck is this? That's like a piece of plastic from something? I don't even know what that is. That's going back. The Vault Boy goes up here, and he goes there. Hi, I'm back. So I've fallen down this like rabbit hole. I'm growing and changing as a person, being able to accept the things that I like, right? I went out and I bought a 4-foot tall Darth Vader statue that now guards my hallway into my foyer. Cause I'm almost 30 and I work a job. I work, I've been averaging lately at least 50 to 56 hours a week at work. And if I'm going to spend all that time at work, I'm going to spend the money I get how I want. And if that means getting a 4-foot tall Darth Vader statue, I'm going to get me a fucking 4-foot tall Darth Vader statue. Cool. Segue to the next topic. For the next topic, this I saw all over Twitter, but the thing that I sent Kyle comes to us from Drama Alert. That's right. Killer Keemstar. That piece of shit. Valve got leaked. 18 minutes of an unannounced competitive shooter has been leaked online. The art style is similar to TF2 and Valorant and has a magical 1940s vibe to it. The game appears to borrow elements from Valve's other games such as Dota, Counter-Strike, etc., as well as a tower defense game and more. This is part of what I wanted to talk about. I think it's cool that Valve still makes shit and isn't just there for Steam. But also Microsoft was going to offer to buy Steam for, are you ready for this one, boys and girls and everyone else in between? $16 billion. Billion with a B, 16 with a 1 and a 6. Now, they paid $4 billion for, Microsoft paid $4 billion for Blizzard and $4 billion for Bethesda, and they were willing to offer four times or double what they paid for those two juggernauts for Steam. And if you wanted to see Steam die, they'd sell to Microsoft. It's good for consumers in the long run. It's bad for everybody pretty much constantly. I think if Steam were to be bought by Microsoft, it's a definite death to consoles. It would be cool that I could have my Steam account on my Xbox and all of my games that are on Steam could then work on my Xbox if they're compatible. If I have a license for one, I'll have the license for the other. Microsoft's willing to throw $16 billion at something so they can take the hit of saying, hey, all your games can come over. That will sell Xboxes. Marcus and Chat goes, that honestly sounds cheap for a game company to say, really, how much do you, billion with a B. The two biggest acquisitions were Bethesda and Blizzard. How much do you think Steam is worth, if not 16 billion? Like, they're not just buying Valve. They're buying Valve and Steam. They're buying the marketplace. I agree with you. It should be more money than that. I just think 16 billion is an absurd amount of money. It should be. It should be a lot more. And Captain Lennox, as you said, Steam would probably go downhill. Microsoft's infrastructure is not great. There's very minor things that I could see good happening. Like, we might get Half-Life 3. We might get Left 4 Dead 3. We might get TF3. Like, we might get these things that are niche and cool, but like, do we need them? Like, you don't think that Microsoft is beating down Bethesda's door going, we need Fallout 5 tomorrow. They spent so much money on it. They get this hit show and now we're just kind of like, what are we doing? I think this new game that they're coming out with, it sounds neat. I'm not going to play it if it's not on console. I'm not one for the PC. It's fine. But I'm just not one for PC games. They put it on consoles. I'll give it a try. A 30s, 40s feel sounds cool with magic, sounds really, really cool. It's a hero shooter, and Overwatch is dead. There's like 15 people still playing it. When Overwatch 2 came out, it was bad. I didn't play it because they wanted my phone number and like a bunch of other whack shit. But Marcus here says, oh, it's a lot of money. It just seems like something like Steam plus Valve would go for more. No, I would, the money that they will make on Steam's side, yeah. Like, the amount of Skrilla they will rake in. They bought Microsoft, or I'm sorry, Microsoft bought Bethesda and Blizzard, and before the acquisition even went through, they had made all the money back. So that's not even the point. Captain Lennox, in my eyes, Overwatch died as soon as they surpassed 20 characters. Really? Yeah, you're kind of right. I think Ana was like one of the first ones to get added, and I liked her, and then after that, I was out. I was done. I didn't need to play it any longer. I don't think even if Gabe Newell. Even if Gabe Newell is offered $16 billion, I don't think he's going to take it even if he does take it, I think antitrust laws are going to show up. We're going to slowly hit a point. I think I was having this conversation at work. Nintendo is announcing their next console sometime late this year, early next year. I believe it's early next year. And I think they're going to make the Switch their handheld, and the next console is going to be like a home entertainment console. There's a deal they have that Call of Duty is supposed to be on the next Nintendo console, and I really think we're going to get to a point where it's just Sony and Nintendo. And if Microsoft buys out Steam and they still have PCs, they still kind of have hardware. Maybe I can buy hardware through Steam the way I can buy hardware through maybe I could buy it through Xbox's homepage on their store. Maybe. Sure. But I highly doubt it. Like, the antitrust laws will come out and be like, look, you own too much already. We tried to stop you with Blizzard. We tried to stop you before. It was a whole back and forth thing. I think if monopoly laws, antitrust laws kick in at any point in time, it's during the acquisition of Steam and Valve. Those are just my opinions on that, though. Let me know how you feel about it in the comments below. I really, really, really want to talk about this week's lore with you. Since I was away last week doing family stuff, I would really, really like to talk to you. What the fuck? So much stuff is falling. I have to reorganize my shelf. I would really like to talk to you about this week's lore, and it's another piece of lore that comes to us from the Fallout show on a character who I love, who I really genuinely enjoyed seeing and wasn't expecting to care about as much as I did. But before I can do that, I have to thank the patron. Tonight we have two people. Your brain ever shut off mid-conversation? Sorry. We have Marcus and Captain Lennox who are here tonight in the live chat, and you too can be in the live chat if you check out the Patreon. There are some names on screen. These fine folks are people who believe in the show, who like the program, who are part of a community now in Discord every Wednesday around 8:30 Mountain Standard Time, depending on how the tummy's feeling. We have a show in case I'm not here. Sometimes I have weeks that are planned ahead of time. For these fine folks that are here and the fine folks that are not here but do support the show, I have to thank them. And starting at the top, I have to start with the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Marcus, who I said is here tonight. Thank you for being here tonight. After Marcus, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you to Mellow Millhouse. After Mellow Millhouse, I have to thank Captain Lennox again, who is here tonight, live in the flesh. Thank you for being here, sir. And last but certainly not least, Danish Hound Dog. Thank you to Danish Hound Dog, because of these fine folks' support, the show continues to grow and get bigger and better and stronger. While you're here, check out the box below. There is a link to the Patreon. There's a bunch of tiers, a bunch of perks. Give it a look-see. Check it out. Thanks for being here, fellas. So, I will ask a question in the Patreon. Remember how I just talked about the Patreon? Another reason why you should check it out, because even at the lowest tier of the Patreon, you can answer a poll where I ask this week's lore question. What I've been doing is kind of things in threes. Before we're in the current three, I did the first three on Lucy, Maximus, and the Ghoul, and now we're in what I like to call the second tier main characters, or the other protagonists of Fallout on Prime. And we're doing Hank McClane, which I did not last week, but the week prior. And this week came down to Chet, who's Lucy and Norm's cousin, who Lucy has a sexual relationship with, and that's about it, because they have rules for things about that down there. And Norm, who is Lucy's brother. So if you'd like to hear any lore, and I mean any lore whatsoever from the Fallout series, any of the games, the shows, anything, make sure to check out the Patreon, because even at the lowest tier, your voice is heard. Yes, your voice is heard every single week when I ask a question. If you check it out and you like the show and you want to see it grow. This week's lore comes to you by way of the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, and I bring you Norm McClane from Fallout on Prime. Norm McClane, the son of Hank McClane, the brother of Lucy McClane, the cousin of Chet, who we don't know Chet's last name. I don't know what Rose, Lucy's mom's last name was, so it could either be whatever her maiden name is, or McClane, not totally sure. He's arguably the fourth protag of the show, which I think is super dope that we have a fourth protag in a series that I was surprised we had three protags in. And he's also best friends with Lucy's weird love interest, not love interest, brother cousin thing that she was hooking up with, which they have rules against down there. Norm's a guy I really, really related to. He's just a guy trying to figure things out. Like, he does a bunch of odd jobs and does this or that in the vault and just is trying to understand what it means to be. He's worked kitchen duty, janitorial, maintenance, computer and information detail, and the job that we see him perform in the vault is as food delivery for Vault 33's prisoners. He's a guy who's just trying to understand his way in the world. And I think we all go through that. He starts really, really timid in the show, but by the end of it, he learns how to be confident. And I want to say this because I feel like people out there have issues with their confidence. And confidence is a thing that you learn. It's not a thing. Some people have confidence boosts. They're inherently confident people. But it's a thing that's also built upon. It's a thing that you have to kind of go for. It's a thing that you work on. The best investment you could make is the investment in yourself. And to work on your confidence is a great thing. And that's what I love about Norm is we see him. He even calls himself a coward. There's a great line in, I believe, episode 6 or 7, that I'll get to a little bit later. But he hides. When the Raiders attack in the first episode, he hides. He doesn't fight. He goes and he hides away, and he kind of feels bad about it. And I get it. People died and he could have helped, but he's now alive and he will discover the secrets of his vault. He's very perceptive. He's a guy who sees things for what they are. He calls out a couple times. One of the ones I'm going to talk about is when Hank leaves the vault, when he gets abducted and taken out. Lucy goes, maybe we should have, you know, like some sort of a search party to find my dad. And he goes, they don't want to find dad because then they can't be in charge. He sees things for what they are, but he's a vault dweller, so he still has a bit of naivete to him. And because of his perceptiveness and his willing to venture out, this is a confident move that he does. He leaves 33 to go to 32. He's the first person to understand that the dwellers, the quote-unquote dwellers of 32, were actually raiders and not real dwellers. Now, at some point, I didn't really know where to put this in the notes exactly, but I wanted to make it apparent. At some point, Rose, Lucy, and Norm's mother take him out of the vault to Shady Sands, him and his sister. They don't remember it, but they have left the vault, even though they're like, we've never left the vault. We've been here our entire lives. Now, in the episodes, The End and The Head, we're introduced to Norm, and we find out that he's a timid, cowardly person by hiding in a storage unit under the floor in the area that was used for Lucy's wedding ceremony, and then where the dinner took place, where the raiders all attacked. He goes into Vault 32 before anybody else really knows what's going on and sees that something had happened. He goes exploring, and later with his cousin Chet, he'll walk around and see what was actually going on, and they'll investigate certain things. And like I was saying a little bit before, when Lucy suggests that maybe they should send out a search party and everyone says no, Norm points out that everyone wants to be in charge. They think that Hank is gone now. They can run the vault differently. And then he helps Lucy escape with Chet, his cousin, who is his best friend, and Lucy's weird boyfriend, but not really. It was just a sexual thing. They have rules against that down there. And as punishment for helping Lucy escape, he's put on food delivery for these prisoners. And while he's there, he will slowly poison these raiders. There's a meeting where they're like, what are we going to do with the raiders? And they're like, oh, we'll just re-educate them and reintegrate them into the vaults. And he's like, oh, or we could kill them. We could just do what they did to us. You know, an eye for an eye might make the whole world blind, but it's a sense of justice at the end of the day. And they shoot him down. And he will go on to poison all of those raiders. And then in the events of the episode, The Ghouls, The Past, and The Radio, Betty, who will later become the overseer of Vault 33, comes to Norm to explain to him that his name carries weight. Not just his words, but his name. Because he is a McLean, and because Lucy is such a well-respected member of the community, and Hank is the overseer, that if he says something, people will listen. And I really think this is Betty saying, okay, I see that an uprising is pretty much imminent if this kid keeps acting the way he acts. And she says to him, the words I believe are exactly, tread lightly. There's something about these shows that if somebody says tread lightly, it seems like it's going to be a decent show. But she explains to him, while giving him cake, that this is... He's a smart kid, he's perceptive, but he's dangerous. And she's kind of letting him know that he's dangerous, but I don't think he understands yet that he's dangerous. Now, he's working with a woman named Veronica, and Veronica is what I assume to be the head vault guard for the Vault 32 Raiders, and cake is brought to them. Now, this is a woman who he works with, this is a woman who has presumably keys, and the cake is brought, and she's like, why are they getting cake? I want cake. And Norm's like, if you take the cake, I'm not going to say anything. You can just have it. So she just takes the cake, and then he has a conversation with the dwellers, the raiders from 32, and the raiders bring up the fact that, like, whatever they were doing in 32 was not sanitary. It wasn't clean. It wasn't what the people of 33 were doing. They had been corrupted or something for a while now. My actual notes here says, conversation with the Vault 32 Raiders about 32, saying that they were up to some foul shit. Later in the same episode, Norm and Chet will sneak into 32, and Chet is scared the entire time. And it turns out slash Norm discovers that the Raiders may not have killed the Vault Dwellers because they were most likely dead for 2 years, and that Norm's mom's Pip Boy, Rose McClane's Pip Boy, was used to open Vault 32's door from the surface. And I believe it's the last episode. If it's not the last episode, it's the second to last episode, the penultimate episode. Norm will ask Betty, hey, what happened with my mom's Pip Boy? And Betty just goes, we buried it with her. And he's like, are you sure? He goes, yep, because I buried her with the Pip-Boy on. I remember it.
Which we find out later was a big, fat, stinky lie.
While exploring 32 and he sees all these bodies and sinew and bones and carcasses and gore all over the place, he realizes that the dwellers of 32 were trying to get into 31, so possibly the dwellers in 32 understood what was going on in 31 and were trying to see who was there, what was going on. They were trying to learn something more. Once him and Chet get back to Vault 33, they find out that the executive order, once Betty is overseer, is they are going to reclaim 32 and send some of the dwellers from 33 to 32, and they are going to try to rebuild the population. Now, at this point, Chet, who I haven't really talked about, he's going to be next week's lore, Chet is now seeing another woman who was pregnant and her husband had died during the battle in 33, and he's kind of a cuck. Like, in the literal sense, he's a cuck. Like, he's taking care of someone else's baby. Like, in the most literal sense of, like, where the word cuck comes from. Dude's got the antlers and everything. And now he's taking care of this woman, and now his friend is being put in Vault 32. And one of my favorite lines of dialogue from the entire show happens. Norm goes up to Chet, and he looks at him, and he's like, with a smile, he's like, you're a coward, Chet. And he goes, I know, Norm. We all are. We live in a vault. Like, there's just the fact that Norm knows that he's, or Chet knows that he's afraid of change and he's afraid of all these things and he's afraid of what the outside world could be. Something about it just really got to me when that line was delivered. I was like, oh my God, he knows. Like, it's like in Forrest Gump when he finds out, you find out that he knows that he's slow. That there's something up with him. Like, it's such a heartbreaking moment. It's not as heartbreaking in Fallout as it is in Forrest Gump, but like, Chet understands that he's not a good person. Like, he could be doing more and he's not because he's comfortable. And then Norm will later go to Betty's office and hack, quite literally the way we're used to seeing it in the show, or excuse me, in the game, hack into her terminal and get into a conversation with Bud Askins. He doesn't really know that it's Bud Askins in the sense that we know it's Bud Askins. And he will go to Vault 31, posing as Betty, saying, I've been compromised. He'll be let in. And once he's in, we get to see, how do I have it written here? A Roomba-brained Bud Askins. He finds out what Vault 31 was about. Finds out, he starts investigating earlier in the show about what's really going on in 31. Even to the point where he asks Bud's new girlfriend, what was the big difference about what was going on in 31? And she goes, the mashed potatoes were a little better. And he even goes, that's what my dad said, which I don't know if that was him just trying to appease her or if that's actually like what was said. And that was like the agreed upon thing. Turns out everybody that was in 31 was in cryopods, in fucking cryopods, for over 200 years, and they were waking them up because they believed at Vault Tech the way they were going to rule the world is through time management and management, just straight management. Like, Bud Askins says, how do you truly beat your enemy? With time. And we have to wait enough, so we have all these executives that he was training to go in that vault. Bud won't let him go back to 33. And he says, you should get into your dad's cryopod so you don't starve to death. And that's kind of just where the show ends. That's where we see the end of Norm, really. We don't get to see much about him after that. I believe the last scene is just him walking towards the pods, and we're never quite sure whether he goes into the pod or not. Normally when I do these lore segments at the end, I like to check the wiki quick. I get all of my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Nukipedia, if you will. I like to check the wiki quick and just kind of see, oh, hey, like, what's the fun facts? There's not really much other than Moises Arias, who plays Norm, is 4'11". And, the guy who plays, someone called me out. Apparently I said it incorrectly. Kyle McLachlan, if I'm saying it correctly this time, he's about 6 and change. Lucy and Chet, their actors, Ella Parnell, and I don't remember what Chet's actor's name is. I'm sorry. Are of average height. I almost said normal. Of average height. But also Moises Arias is younger than Lucy in real life, which I think is really, really funny, but because he's shorter, he just happens to be the younger brother. If you're a lot like me and you grew up with little sister or just watch whatever was on television, you know him as the other kid from Hannah Montana, and it was wild that it's just time is a flat circle and things will follow you constantly. And I hope you enjoy that, because that is all I have. That has been this week's lore. Hey, everybody. Welcome to segment 3, the third segment. Just a quick little third segment for you. Kyle sent me this. I know Kyle was rather excited for this. PS2 games have been confirmed for PS5, and one of the first games is Sly Cooper. This comes to us by way of TCMF Games at TCMF2 on Twitter. This finally confirms that there are new PS2 emulators and we should start getting PS2 games now. These games will drop on June 11th for premium members. PS5, PS5 themes, PlayStation. So the picture that Kyle sent shows Tomb Raider Legends and the first Sly Cooper. This is what should have been going on with PlayStation. If they give us the option where I can pop a game in, fantastic. Because I have some PS2 games. I'm not saying all of them. Xbox doesn't have all of them, but it'd be nice to have some of them. I'd really actually enjoy to have a few PlayStation 2 games that I have. So I have San Andreas. They're not going to let you play San Andreas because of the definitive version. I'm not a big, dumb, silly moron. I do have The Thing on PS2 that I've still never played, and I'd love to be able to pop it into I don't even have a PS5, but I'd love to be able to pop it into a PS5 and play it, even if it's not at a higher resolution, not at a higher frame rate, not any sort of upgrade, but just something that's there. I'd appreciate that quite a bit. I've been going back and playing Star Wars games. If I could play PS2 Star Wars games, which I've been told are some of the best, the Battlefronts, I remember watching kids play them, but never played them because I didn't really know Star Wars all that much. I just played The Force Unleashed, and it's okay. It's neat. It's just not my favorite. It'd be super neat if they put the games up to be purchased that I can play them on the PS5. Marcus goes, I put over 1,000 hours into Star Wars Battlefront 2 back in the day. I think they just remade it, or they ported it to like newer consoles or something. I never played them. I know nothing about them. I just remember my friend Alex, who lived next to Kyle for a time, or Kyle lived next to him for a time. I remember playing it at his house, or watching him play it at his house, and I remember going, and like the camera would zoom in and shit. That I remember, but I never, you know, I'd like to go back and play these games. I think it'd be dope if they did what Xbox did and I could put in these older games and I can play them. I would also really like if they had the option to buy them digitally, even if they're $20 a piece, like be able to buy Spyro 1, 2, and 3, Crash 1, 2, and 3, Sly Cooper 1, 2, and 3, bring PS3 games. I know they're like, we don't know how to emulate our own console, but figure it out. Come on, you made the thing. How could you not backwards engineer it? I doubt they're going to have it where every PS2 game is going to be backwards compatible. I mean, all you're really doing if you have a physical disc for like the Series X is you're running an emulator, but you're like, oh, hey, check it out. You can run the emulator on here. You just don't have to buy a digital license. I just know that you have the game physically. So here's Ace Combat or whatever that you want. So I think it's cool. I think it's what Sony should have done last generation, to be honest. Even if it was just PS1 games, introduce the idea now. And then it's like, oh, PS5. And on launch day of PS5, here's 25 PS2 classics that you can play.
I'd really like to be able to pop in my copy of San Andreas and play that, because that's the best way to play it. I have a friend who loves the 360 version of San Andreas, and I actually own a digital version of 360 San Andreas, and I can't download it because they took it off the store, and I didn't download it before they took it off because of the definitive edition. So I just can't play a game that I paid for already. So I don't want to shell out $30 for a game that I bought four times. I hope you've enjoyed that. That's been this episode, episode 308 of Atomic Radio Hour. The intro music is by the one and only Shane Ivers, and it should be playing right this very second. Check out the description for links to the Patreon. The Patreon has a bunch of tiers that you can check out that benefit you and they benefit me. It's symbiotic. There's the link to the Discord. Check that out. The Redbubble, where you can buy some merch. Links to my Twitter, the show's Twitter, and Kyle's Twitter. I love you. Thank you for being here. It's been a pleasure to hang out with you this day. If you're watching this day, it came out, happy Saturday. If not, happy whatever the fuck day it is. I love you, and I'll be seeing you next week. Bye, Kyle.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
This has been a production made by your friends at Ghoulman Entertainment.